Time for the Hamilton Corner with today's guest host, Miki Addison.
Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Welcome to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk, as is my custom of late. No, I'm kidding. I'm Miki. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III. And there is so much information happening today that we're talking to Walker Wildman, who's been burning bacon. He's been talking all day. Walker, you've been burning bacon, man. You've been talking about this all day. And I just knew that when all this information came out and knowing that I was filling in for Abe, I was like, man, I really need to talk to Walker. I need to make sense of this. Help me understand what's going on. And there's so much that we could just really jump on. And I know you get riled up really easily, so I'll try to be like the steady force.
Please, please. Okay? It's Friday afternoon. I need to stay calm. The weekend's coming.
Family.
I know.
Yes.
So, no, I can get fired up and cool down later, but look, we have reasons to be upset and to be fired up about this stuff. This is serious business.
It's crazy. It's crazy what's happening. You know, we talked about this all day yesterday. We talked about the Senate Judiciary hearing. We talked about Judge Kavanaugh coming out and being a person. He was a man yesterday. He's not a judge. He was not a title, not a position. He was a person. And that was exactly what he needed to do. We also talked about the sham. We talked about the great circus, as Brett Kavanaugh described it. And he was right about that happened. Everybody, you know, complicit in this circus, everybody participating. And then here we are today. And there is more to the circus. Catch our listeners up. What is the latest update as to where we are on Judge Brett Kavanaugh?
Yeah, today we had the Senate Judiciary Committee had a scheduled vote at 1:30 p.m. Eastern to vote to confirm our vote to vote favorably to send Brett Kavanaugh to the full Senate so that the full Senate could vote to confirm him early next week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in that vote at the last minute, Senator Jeff Flake partnered with the Democrats and decided that in order for him to vote favorably for Brett Kavanaugh in committee, he needed the FBI to reopen an investigation and a background check into Brett Kavanaugh and these accusations. And so, and he demanded it be done at least take a week. And so we're going to be bumped back another week after a 10-day delay, all because of Republican Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona.
Let's listen to what he said. Let's have our listeners, I think, Jeff, you have the clip here. Let's have our listeners hear Senator Flake, so appropriate, in his own words and his bleeding heart of compassion. Ready? Roll it.
I have been speaking with a number of people on the other side. We've had conversations ongoing for a while with regard to making sure that we do due diligence here. And I think it would be proper to delay the floor vote for up to, but not more than 1 week, in order to let the FBI to do an investigation limited in time and scope to the current allegations that are there, and limited in time to no more than 1 week. And I will vote to advance the bill to the floor with that understanding.
What is the fear factor here, Walker? Like, what's going on? How do we rightly discern where is this coming from?
Yeah. Senator Jeff Flake, you know, maybe a week ago, if he's trying to be bipartisan, trying to hear both sides, you know, if this was 1 week ago, some of us might say, well, maybe he's just trying to get to the bottom of this, and maybe he's just trying to play it fair and square. But we've seen the strategy and the games that the Democrats are playing, and this is clearly a political assassination attempt on Brett Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Flake, this is what I want to point out here. Here's the analogy or the metaphor that I want to use here.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Flake, by doing this today, by demanding an FBI investigation, into, and by the way, the FBI has their own credibility problems that they're dealing with now, by demanding and partnering with the Democrats on an FBI investigation, he is now loading the weapons, loading the guns, putting the powder in the guns for the Democrats to politically assassinate Brett Kavanaugh. That's what Jeff Flake is doing today.
Explain that, Walker. Like, unpack that for us.
Yeah.
What will that look like over the next, you know, 5 or 6 days?
Well, you have multiple accusations coming against Brett Kavanaugh, all of which either have been debunked or they haven't been proved. All of the alleged witnesses are saying that I've never heard of such, I don't know of such, this didn't happen. And what I mean by political assassination is by Jeff Flake partnering with the Democrats, and by the way, it's not just Jeff Flake, it's Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, by them partnering with the Democrats in this sleazy smear tactic and smear game, they are giving the Democrats more time to scheme, to play, to attack Brett Kavanaugh, and I find it very hard to believe that we will actually get Brett Kavanaugh confirmed if we continually give Democrats more time.
Now, one of the things that Jeff Flake tried to say as, you know, he sort of skirted around issues that are obvious, one of the things he tried to say is that the investigation would be limited to the information that they have in front of them right now. So, in other words, he's attempting to convey that there would not be any new information that would be admitted into, I guess, what would be considered evidence. But we know that in the court of public opinion, he has no way of stopping that, Walker. Like,
right.
He can't control more women coming out talking about yachts and talking about gang rapes. Like, there is no way
right.
that he could stop these GoFundMe pages that are paying these women to come forward. I mean,
right.
what are your thoughts on that?
Well, and one thing I want to clarify here is when I say a political assassination, what I'm talking about is a character assassination.
Correct.
What
yes.
we saw, I'm not talking about a physical firearm assassination. I'm talking about a character assassination like we saw attempted with Clarence Thomas in 1991.
Yes.
Like we saw attempted with Herman Cain when he tried to run for president a few years
True.
Back.
True, yes, that's
we
right.
We saw it with Judge Roy Moore 6 months ago in Alabama.
Yep. Yep.
And so we've seen this played over and over again. But you know, the whole idea of an FBI investigation or an FBI review, the thing is they've already reviewed this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They've already reviewed it, or at least they've already decided whether it has merit enough to review. Because let me remind our listeners that Senator Feinstein forwarded Dr. Ford, one of the accusers, forwarded her letter to the FBI a month and a half ago. And so it's not as if the FBI is just now finding out about this. They've known of it. And so I would think if it merited review, they've already reviewed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting that the Democrats and Senator Flake are demanding an FBI investigation. And another thing is that I have a question about, and I'm totally guessing here. I'm just throwing out ideas. But who's going to head up this FBI investigation?
Mm-hmm.
Will it be people like Peter Strzok, who are Hillary Clinton fans?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to head up this investigation? And if the Democrats continue to play the games that they've been playing, I will want to bet you that they have an ally in the FBI who is going to head up this investigation, and then they're going to bring down Brett Kavanaugh using the FBI, just like they're trying to bring down Donald Trump using the FBI.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that Democrats anticipate any loss of power. Like, I can't imagine them gambling on a loss. Like, I really think that they've got their sights set on power. That's where they're going. One other thing I want to point out, and this was interesting, you know, I read this early this morning, and I mentioned it on my program, and I don't know if you've heard about this, so I'm just going to throw it out and then get your take on it. Rachel Mitchell, the prosecutor that the Republicans chose because hashtag Me Too scares people.
Yes.
A hashtag scares people these days, Walker.
I know.
That's what we're talking about. So you've got to get a woman to interview this woman because hashtag Me Too and men are afraid to talk to women. I mean, this is a shame.
Yeah.
So you've got Rachel Mitchell, and I watched yesterday, and I wasn't impressed with Rachel Mitchell. I don't know very many people who were. I would like to get your take on that. But additionally, I want to bring to light some information that came as a result of her privately meeting with the Republican senators outside of the hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what she said. She said that she would not charge Brett Kavanaugh. based on the information that she heard, based on the information that she gathered from Christine Blasey Ford, she said that she would not charge Brett Kavanaugh. And then she said she wouldn't even seek a search warrant based on the information in front of her as a prosecutor. So my question is, in light of that information, and you would assume that if you've got all 51 Republican senators present, that would include Jeff Flake. He knew that.
Yep.
So when, if he's calling for an FBI investigation and you've got a prosecutor saying, look, I wouldn't even call for a search warrant based on this information, this would not make it anywhere near a courtroom.
No.
That's what Mitchell said.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, she's exactly right. Because once again, Dr. Ford was asked on multiple occasions, do you have any eyewitnesses? And she claims to have had witnesses, at least at the party. And all of those have written in, have wrote in sworn testimony under perjury, under the, if they lie to the Senate under oath, that is a felony.
Yeah,
They've wrote in, they've sworn,
under
given
penalty
sworn
of felony. Correct.
That's right. That's what I was trying to say.
Sure.
That they have no recollection of even such a party taking place. It's one thing if they wrote in and said, I do remember the party, but I was not a witness to the alleged assault. But they even wrote in and said, I don't even remember the party. And so
that's what
I don't understand what exactly the FBI is going to look at here. You know, if I'm the FBI, Jeff Sessions should walk over to the FBI department and he should say, we're going to make this quick, folks. You call all alleged five or six witnesses. We don't. Dr. Ford doesn't even know how many people were there, but she alleges four to five witnesses that were at the party. You're going to call all them right now under oath, and if all of them say that they have no recollection of the party, then tonight, on Friday night, the FBI is closing this investigation, and we're sending it over to the White House. They need to make this thing quick. It would take an hour maximum.
You know, speaking of the witnesses, Mark Judge, this poor man. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me that the Democrats will stop at nothing to shame and to embarrass and to really just grab power. This man, Mark Judge, released a letter through his lawyer where he said the reason that he didn't want to appear and give his statement or make us give his testimony in public is because he struggles with depression and anxiety. He's a former or recovering alcoholic and also a cancer survivor. Do you think that that meant anything to these Senate Democrats, Walker? Anything at all?
No, I don't think so. And even some of the Democrats were talking about subpoenaing Mark Judge, forcing him to come before the Senate, despite the fact that we all know that Mark Judge is obviously in a very unfortunate, sad situation in his life, even right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it became public. Some of these details, honestly, Mickey, should not even be made public.
Right.
Some of the ladies' names that were used, the terminology that was used to describe Brett Kavanaugh. And then Mark Judge obviously is in a very bad place right now, and the Democrats want to drag him before the Senate under oath to testify about something that he's already said never occurred.
You know, last night, Newt Gingrich weighed in on what Lindsey Graham did for Brett Kavanaugh. And Uncle Newt said that Lindsey Graham validated his entire political career.
That's right.
I don't know if that's too heavy a statement. He might be accurate, but I want to talk about that. And then I want to talk about Lindsey Graham's comments today as he supported, it seemed that he supported Jeff Flake and saying that this is democracy. Are we seeing him kind of flip and flop on that? We'll have a little conversation around that when we get back. Walker Wildman joins us in the corner. Stay close.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
If you wanted an FBI investigation, you could have come to us. What you want to do is destroy this guy's life, hold this seat open, and hope you win in 2020. You've said that, not me. You've got nothing to apologize for. When you see Sotomayor and Kagan, tell them that Lindsey said hello. Because I voted for them. I would never do to them what you've done to this guy. This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics. And if you really wanted to know the truth, you sure as wouldn't have done what you've done to this guy. Are you a gang rapist?
No.
I cannot imagine what you and your family have gone through. Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it. Mm-hmm. I hope the American people can see through this sham.
Welcome back. Man, I don't know why. I've heard it several times, but I still kind of hold my breath. Like, it's just one of those amazing moments where Lindsey Graham just, he turns into a torch and starts going after cables on bridges. Like, he just doesn't even care about, it seems, his political career and reaching across the aisle. It seems that he's really kind of torching it. Anyway, welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm Miki, in for Abraham Hamilton III, and Walker Wildman joins me. We are talking about yesterday. Your thoughts on that, Walker?
Yeah, right there. That was the moment when I was watching that hearing that I finally started high-fiving people in my office who were watching it also. because you had the Democrats. Actually, the Democrats looked very puny and shameful yesterday. They looked very shamed. They were very mellow, kind of leaning over their mics, really slouched down, as if they were embarrassed that the tactics they had used succeeded. But Senator Lindsey Graham finally stepped up there on behalf of the Republicans and spoke some common sense and basically said to America what is going on and what all of us were thinking. So kudos to Senator Graham. And I haven't always been a fan of his, but what he did yesterday was bold. And that what he did brought a spirit of truth to Washington, D.C. yesterday, which was much needed. And it is clear, Miki, that this is a spiritual fight.
Yes.
And I know you've talked about this. This is about whether Democrats and their allies can continue unmercifully, without restraint, killing babies in their mother's womb. That's what this is about. And the Democrats will do anything and everything to keep that, quote, right to kill babies in their mother's womb.
You know, I'll tell you, if there were any questions, Walker, that any conservative anywhere had about Brett Kavanaugh, you know, you started off, you're a little bit shaking, you're going, what, I don't know, and you have all these questions. If there were any questions still looming, all of those questions should be put to rest just by sheer force that you see, the force of darkness coming out against this man and attacking his family, attacking his wife, attacking his kids, his mom and his dad, and attacking him as a person. I mean, when you put that into perspective, you know that this is a spiritual battle. You know that there was great darkness, and there was a light of truth that came in the midst of that hearing when Lindsey Graham began to speak. He wasn't using a script, Walker.
Right.
He wasn't using prepared notes.
I know. That was purely genuine what Senator Lindsey Graham said. And also, let's think about this. You know, like you said, some of us who consider ourselves conservatives, we were kind of hesitant with Brett Kavanaugh. Mm-hmm. We were unsure how he would rule when it comes to the sanctity of human life, and whether he would go as far enough as we would like when it comes to Roe v. Wade, etc. But what this has shown, and you just alluded to this, is that obviously Satan knows that Brett Kavanaugh does not like abortion.
Come on.
From a philosophical, constitutional standpoint, Brett Kavanaugh does not like abortion. Otherwise, Satan and people carrying out his will to smear and destroy Kavanaugh's character would not be going at him this hard. Mm-hmm. And so this is wholly a spiritual fight. And I know for those who don't have the Holy Spirit, it is hard for them to see this. Mm. They are viewing this likely through a wholly political lens. It's a fight between R's and D's. Mm-hmm. But as Christians, we know, Miki, and the believers who are listening to this radio program know that this, at the end of the day, this is a fight between light and darkness.
Come on.
And one of the forces are going to win here.
And I pray
that it is light that wins here.
Yeah.
But Satan is fighting hard. And there's another thing here, and I said this earlier today when I hosted Focal Point, Brian Fisher's show. I said that this is the difference between Republicans and Democrats. And I criticize Republicans often. I sometimes criticize them more than I do Democrats. But the Republican Party, they actually have a voting bloc called the Christians, the evangelicals, who hold them morally accountable. That's why
right.
I criticize Republicans for funding the baby killers called Planned Parenthood.
Come on.
But the Democrats have no moral compass. They have no moral voting bloc. their supporters, their voters say the ends justify the means. And so that's the difference here, and that's why the Republicans seem at times to be fighting for the truth.
And let's consider that, because you just touched on something that's really important. You know, we are talking about a party that in its party platform, I mean, there is no fear of God that's written in any of their documents. There is not even the acknowledgement that God is the righteous judge of all the earth and that he will do what is right. And yet they're constantly calling us to morality. It's as if they have redefined terms and then they're calling us to adhere to their terms. And this is why I say that conservative Christians have got to hold the line. Conservative Christians have got to speak out and they've got to not subject themselves to these redefined terms. Now, I want to ask you this. I want to go. We've got a second clip here from Lindsey Graham, and then I want to make sure we get to it because I've got a third from Cory Booker, who turns into T.D. Jakes for some reason whenever he starts talking. I want us to talk about that just a little bit. But there was something that I'm concerned about happened with Lindsey Graham today. Maybe a little bit of a difference, and I'm hoping that you'll tell me, Walker, oh, Mickey, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. But I want us to hear him yesterday. This is the second clip. And then I want to talk about what came from him today after Jeff Flake's statements. Mm-hmm. Clip two.
One thing I can tell you should be proud of, Ashley, you should be proud of this, that you raised a daughter who had the good character to pray for Dr. Ford. To my Republican colleagues, if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I have seen in my time in politics. You want this seat? I hope you never get it. I hope you're on the Supreme Court. That's exactly where you should be. And I hope that the American people will see through this charade.
Now, he's very forceful there.
Right.
I mean, he is emphatic. He is convincing. And then today, you know, Jeff Flake, I don't know, seemed to sort of almost, I think, water down his Kool-Aid. It just didn't seem as convincing. You know, today he was talking about needing to feel better. And if, you know, if Jeff Flake needs to feel better about Kavanaugh, then that's fine. And then he, you know, this is democracy and all of this. I just don't know. Are you concerned about that?
Well, Senator Graham's statements yesterday, I believe, were sincere. They were from his gut, so to speak. But today, he took a politically astute or politically motivated statement by trying to coddle and pat Jeff Flake on the back because he's loading the guns for the Democrats.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The Republican leadership, they think that if they coddle and hug and pat on the back and blow his head up, blow his ego up, should I say, if the Republicans think if they blow Jeff Flake's ego up, and make him think that he's the final vote in this, he's the deciding vote, that they will somehow win him over in the end to vote for Brett Kavanaugh. But what they don't know is that every day that goes by, the Democrats are pulling Jeff Flake over to their side of the aisle, and it's not going to work. And so I think that Senator Senate Leader Mitch McConnell should have said today, he should have said, Jeff Flake, if you want to vote against Brett Kavanaugh, fine. But we're not having an FBI review, an FBI investigation. We're going to vote Tuesday on Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. And if you want to go on national television before the American people and vote against him based on these baseless allegations, then go do it. But I'm going to make you explain that and make you do it in front of the whole world. And that would put Jeff Flake on the spot. And I would almost bet you that he wouldn't vote against Brett Kavanaugh.
And I think that even with this thought, this notion, this idea that you are going to sort of, you know, pat Jeff Flake on the back and seem to be encouraging and supportive, I think at the same time it calls into question Brett Kavanaugh's character. I think it's actually counterproductive, and I don't think that Democrats have any desire for truth. Keep in mind, these are the people who, while they're talking about can't we have an investigation to clear his name and all of this, and appearing to be very benevolent, these are the people who are saying to Christine Blasey Ford, I believe you.
Right.
I believe you. I mean, if you've already revealed your hand in this and you've already said that you believe this woman, what are you expecting to come from an FBI investigation?
You're exactly right, Mickey. And let's get specific here. If we want to talk about the credibility of the Democrats on this Judiciary Committee, let's talk about two examples. First off, you have Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut. He claimed a couple years ago that he fought in the Vietnam War. He claimed to be a Vietnam veteran. And it turned out he never even served in Vietnam. As a matter of fact, he signed a waiver to get his deployment delayed six times because he didn't want to go fight. He didn't have the courage to fight. And so how is he going to talk to Brett Kavanaugh about credibility and about whose story is true and this or that? And then you have Cory Booker, the senator. This is the second example. Senator Cory Booker wrote in college that he groped one of his high school friends. And he goes into explicit, disgusting detail about how he did that. And so Senator Cory Booker is now the righteous Spartacus and is there as the moral compass of the Senate going after Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, this is an absolute joke. The credibility of these individuals is shot, and nobody seems, at least the media, doesn't seem to call that out.
They're not calling it out. You know, you mentioned Cory Booker. Let's try to squeeze in this clip we've got of the Righteous Spartacus talking about why we need time so that we can clear at least this cloud that is over Brett Kavanaugh's head. Roll it.
There are those right now watching this group of powerful people. How will we deal with a privileged man? A seat on the Supreme Court is not an entitlement. Just because you went to Yale Law School or were the captain of your basketball team, the Supreme Court is not an entitlement. And Mr. Chairman, I'll tell you this, this is not a court of law. We're not saying that this man is guilty of what he said. The question is do we know enough now to delay this? Or are we going to rush to put someone on the Supreme Court with this cloud hanging over them? I cannot stomach that we are going to move forward.
Man, look, the Democrats are going to school us on entitlements. The Democrats are going to. I just want everybody to pause for a second. Walker, you help me with this. I don't want to go off the rails here. But the Democrats are going to school us on entitlements. They're going to talk to us about entitlements. And add to that, they are also going to talk to us about a quote-unquote privileged man. Hmm. Walker, I'm telling you, that is at the core of their aim.
Yeah.
What they are trying to do is cause some sort of class war. This is what they've been doing for a very long time. They want us to look at Brett Kavanaugh, and they want us to say, oh, he went to this elite Catholic school. He's a white man. You know what? He's guilty. He did it.
Yeah.
He absolutely did it. And they're trying to convince the American people of this so that we can try him in the court of public opinion, find him guilty just because he's white and he went to a private Catholic school. I mean, do you hear what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that you're exactly right. And we saw this even with President Barack Hussein Obama. This whole class warfare, even President Obama's Department of Justice was going after police departments, going after schools on their disciplinary tactics. Because they want class warfare. They want race warfare, honestly. They want to pit black against white, rich against poor. Instead, we should be bringing everybody together. We're all Americans. Mm-hmm. And many of us want the best for everybody in America. But instead, the Democrats claim to be the party of unity, the party of equality, and the party of everybody. But they go out and alienate half of America. And so the Democrats are, I think they're overplaying their hand.
Yes.
I think this whole smear campaign is going to boomerang. And if conservative and if Christian voters didn't have a reason to vote in the midterms, now we do. We don't want Cory Booker and Spartacus and the rest of the Democrats running the Senate, running the House of Representatives, and delaying even more President Trump's success in the White House.
I'm telling you, it is time for those of us who fear God to be involved in the public square, to be occupying until the Lord returns, to understand what is happening in the culture around us. Walker, we cannot retreat. And that is what so many Christians have done. We have retreated. And it's one of those moments, like very similar to the history of Israel, where they would turn away from the Lord and the Lord would turn them over to their enemies. And once they were turned over to their enemies, they would cry out for mercy. I feel that we've had those times in this country at different times where we we've just kind of been left to ourselves. We've been turned over to wicked government. And then we cry out to the Lord. The Lord hears us. The Lord forgives us and then issues us a reprieve. And I believe we're in the midst of a reprieve right now. And the question is, what will we do with that? Yeah. Are we going to take that seriously? Are we going to squander this time that we have? Are we going to be manipulated? You know, I actually had someone on social media tell me that I should just believe this woman because I am a woman.
Wow.
Folks, I should believe this woman because I am a woman. Let me tell you something. Women lie like men lie. Women are opportunists like men are opportunists. Women seek power like men seek power. And we are not compelled in this culture to think with our anatomy. We must discern. We must understand the times that we're living in. That is, look, that's not a luxury. That's a necessity. I want to encourage you, keep praying for our nation. Keep praying for our country. Keep praying for the will of God to be done. Keep praying that more people come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because righteous people will change a culture. Righteous people will change a culture.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm Miki. In for Abraham Hamilton III, and there is just so much that is going on in the world, as you already know. I mean, we're trying to keep up with what's happening in our culture today, and specifically, we're going to turn our attention to this next generation that we are so concerned with, those who have tremendous athletic ability, and those that we want to use their gifts to glorify God, and we are still concerned about this next generation and still concerned about God being glorified in their midst, and so we're going to talk Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and we're going to talk about an event that's coming up October 10th. I want you to kind of pay attention here, as maybe this is something that your kid needs to be involved in. And joining us now to talk about that is Kellen Cox, who is the Director of Ministry Advancement for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Kellen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Miki. Glad to be on.
Tell us a little bit about Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I know that people would be familiar with the ministry and maybe they kind of can say FCA and know maybe in theory what you guys do, but what's the mission and the purpose for this organization?
Yeah, FCA's mission is something that I get really excited to talk about. And it's what leads nearly 1,800 of our staff every day. And it's to lead every coach and every athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and his church.
Amen.
And absolutely love that. And I especially love the part that talks about growing relationship, that it's not just a one-time thing, but it's, we're going to come alongside these coaches and athletes and help them walk in this journey of faith in Jesus and ultimately get them plugged into God's church.
And oh,
so,
man.
FCA, yeah, FCA is excited about the mission.
That is so key, though. I want to just kind of drill down because I'm excited to, as you mentioned, something that I have focused on. First, my husband and I were missionaries to university students. So very near and dear to my heart is that we make followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often we miss that in the church, Kellen. We kind of just are looking at the number of converts that we have, but we really are not teaching people to walk with the Lord and what that looks like in their daily lives, what it looks like to actually be a disciple, to grow in the Lord. And when I hear you talking about the mission of FCA and athletes and coaches, I'm hearing that it doesn't just stop at conversion. Can we kind of unpack that just a little bit more?
Yeah, those are great comments. Completely agree. FCA has changed its focus over the years from more of what we call a presentation ministry, where we're just presenting the gospel, to now our focus is we need to learn how to make disciples who make disciples. And one of the cool things about our niche at this kingdom work that God's called us to is the platform of sports. And we know that most sports, there's a team, there's coach, there's teammates, there's kind of this huddle environment. And we believe that reaching coaches and athletes in that environment, in that community, there's going to be more opportunity for them to grow alongside each other in their faith journey than just this individualistic culture that America is showing us. And so the importance of training and coaching and helping disciples make disciples is now on the forefront of our minds. And we're just seeing a lot of great growth. Our ministry methods are to engage, equip, and empower coaches and athletes to make disciples.
Oh, man, this is so good. So as I'm listening to you talk about making disciples who make disciples, what immediately comes to my mind is 2 Timothy 2:2, the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, this entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This is transgenerational. This means that we are passing down the faith to the next generation. And to know that this is happening in the athletic context, I think it's just it's monumental. How well, I guess, what are some of the challenges here when you talk about making disciples in this athletic arena? What obstacles do you face?
One of the big ones that we see is time. Conversion is something that can happen at an event or in a moment, but making disciples takes time. As we look at the life of Jesus, he walked with these disciples, walked alongside people, helped them discover through experiences, through conversations. And so as we look at making disciples in a culture, and not just the American culture, but as we're in 83 countries, we're seeing that cultures are picking up pace and people don't have enough time. Mm. And so that's one of the challenges that we have, but FCA allows spaces and time, whether that be at camps or fields of faith or huddles, to be able to have those conversations. And we believe that over conversations around God's word is where disciples are made.
You know, I'm thinking, because, well, my experience, I'm not an athlete, but my experience in outreach to athletes has been that they seem to spend an incredible amount of time together. So you would think that there is all this time to really reach out and to really grow, but is it that there is the lack of quality time that these athletes have?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think their time is more focused on the things that they think will bring them joy, right? The practice, competition, preparing for anything within their sport, relaxing, hanging out, having fun. But when we can add value to their life, serve them, meet needs, help them become better in their sports, then there is this hope, open heart and this interest in what FCA has to offer. And then they give time, you know, and they'll show up to opportunities that FCA has to help them get better at their sport, or to have conversations around things like, you know, how to be more confident in their sport, or how to be a better teammate. Adding value to their life, meeting their needs, tends to open up more of their time, more of their schedule. And that's where our staff and our volunteers come in and share the good news of Jesus with them.
It's amazing, because it sounds like you even have to, it's like combating almost the culture of athletics to bring a new culture, that is to say, to bring a new value, a new appreciation to what is important versus what you once thought was important. But in order to change that culture, you actually need the time to do it, which is one of the obstacles that you're describing. Tell me some of the testimonies that that FCA boasts of, and I mean in the Lord, but tell me what are some of the results that you guys are seeing?
You were seeing stories, hearing stories from all around the world. We're in 83 countries now, by God's grace, with over 2,000 staff. And we're talking 50, 60, 70,000 leaders in these ministry environments who are all working to share the good news of Jesus and walk alongside people who need him. And we're hearing stories of athletes and coaches talking about the idols in their life, the god of sport that is ruling and controlling them, and ultimately not giving them the joy that their soul and their heart is looking for. And when our staff are coming alongside them, meeting needs, caring for them, building relationships, and then offering the true joy that Jesus offers and the hope that Christ offers, we're seeing complete life transformation. And that's just what the gospel does. And we could spend days and days talking about the stories of impact. But I think the greatest story is that FCA, reaching coaches and athletes, our niche, we're seeing these people get plugged into local churches. And ultimately, that's what we care about, these people being a part of the community, the kingdom of God. And sports is just our way of helping them get involved in that.
You know, Kellen, we're speaking, by the way, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Kellen Cox, who is the Director of Ministry Advancement for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And what we're going to do in just a second here is we're going to make a shift and talk about fields of faith. But before we do that, I've just got one other question for you, just because I'm curious about this, in addition to everything else I've asked you. We know that athletes face this sort of pressure to perform, that there is this, I don't know, alarm in their head that constantly goes off telling them to be the best, to do their best, to succeed and to achieve. Are there other pressures that athletes face from the culture? And here's what I'm getting at. Do they face a different type of pressure to be culturally relevant that you find you have to combat as you convey the gospel and what it is to be a follower of Christ?
Yeah, I believe there are several challenges and even obstacles that they have to overcome just because they're elevated in our culture as athletes, as coaches. Whether that be the pressures and expectations to be a student athlete, you've got to have good grades to perform. So not only are they held accountable on the court or on the field and their performance, but there is another layer and level of expectation in the classroom. Even at home, in order to have certain rights, they're held accountable with how they perform. And that's not right, but parents are holding children accountable to how they perform in the classroom and on the field. And I think that adds another level of pressure. And as social media increases, the comparison game that I think we're all guilty of, seeing other people perform and do well, the flesh is weak, and we want to compare ourselves. We want to be like those who are glorified and elevated. And so I do think there are three or four key pressures that athletes, student athletes specifically face, that maybe others do not. And we're in a world that FCA, we are trying to help them see that your identity is not in those things. There's nothing wrong with being good at all those. Nothing wrong with engaging in those and doing your best. But the core of who you are as an individual, a child of God, that is left up to the Almighty God and the relationship that you have or do not have with Him.
Man, you know, I'm so glad you said that. And I think that ministers right at this moment to some parents of athletes. I think that's something important for parents to understand, even in our own drive to be competitive and have competitive children. I think what you just said is of eternal value and significance. Let's shift our focus here. Let's talk about fields of faith. Tell our listeners about that.
Yes, Fields of Faith is a ministry initiative that started 15 years ago, and it started in a small town in Oklahoma where one of our local staff people had a vision from God, and they said, we want to do something that's radically different, that's going to help change the culture and help it look more like the kingdom of God, and we're going to use the influence of athletes to get there. And this has been something that now over 15 years, we have over 500 locations nationwide, over 500 Fields of Faith events happening. It's growing each year. And we're seeing roughly around 200,000 coaches, athletes, students, and other people engaged in these events. And we're just so excited about the impact that's happening.
And what happens? What happens during this event? What could people expect? And then from there, we'll talk about how they can learn more and possibly get involved.
Yeah, Fields of Faith is an opportunity for student-athletes to invite their peers, along with coaches to invite their peers, maybe it's from the school or the community, to come and gather around a field, which is just a neutral site, which churches are invited. This is an interdenominational gathering where churches of every kind who focus on Jesus are welcome to attend. And student-athletes use their influence in their school, in their community, to share their testimonies and encourage other peers, other people to read God's word. And then ultimately, there's an opportunity to respond to the gospel.
Hmm.
So student-led event, sometimes there's worship music there. Sometimes there's another guest speaker or someone there to do a little bit of entertainment, have some fun. But ultimately, we're seeing student athletes and coaches share their testimonies, share the good news of Jesus, and people are receiving him as their Savior and Lord. And it's just been really effective. We're seeing it be one of the best ways to engage people with the gospel. And then from those events, we're encouraging them to get plugged into those local churches that are there, mm-hmm. plugged into FCA huddle environments, and other ministry initiatives that we have for them.
Man, this is fantastic. This is really exciting because I'm also hearing that it provides an opportunity for both coaches and student athletes to be unashamed of the gospel. I mean, if you're inviting a friend to come to an event like this, if you yourself are attending, you're really making a statement in culture, Kellen. I mean, you're really saying we love Jesus, are you not?
Absolutely. That's what we're saying. And the key is it's in a football field, which is in our culture. I mean, that is ground that people worship in a different
man.
Way.
They're oh,
worshiping
man.
Sport, and we're yeah. saying this is God's field. We're out in the open. The public is welcome, and we, without a roof over our heads, are declaring that Jesus is King, and he has radically transformed my life.
Praise
and
God.
People need authentic truth. They need reality. And the fact that Jesus transforms and brings joy, that's truth. And people are sharing it, and it's been a lot of fun. And God's using Fields of Faith to grow his kingdom, and we're just sitting back just in awe of what's happening.
Man, this is really good news. I'm telling you, with everything that's going on, with a lot that we see publicly happening on Fields, and as you say, man, they are a stumbling block to many, these athletic yeah. fields. This is really, really good news. With 500 locations, or more than 500 locations nationwide, it might be pretty easy for our listeners to find an event that's happening near them. But in case they can't, or they want to host one, how do they learn more about that?
They can visit www.fieldsoffaith.com. There you can see a list of all the fields nationwide that are listed. If you're looking for one near you, you can find that. And if people are interested in starting and leading a Fields of Faith, there's a little bit of information on that as well. Everything you need to be successful in that ministry environment. And that has everything from what is Fields of Faith, attending a field, hosting a field, and other resources. So that's www.fieldsoffaith.com.
And this happens October 10th all across this country. October 10th, correct?
That's right. October 10th is the national day. And every once in a while, you'll find maybe a different day because that's what works best mm-hmm. for some of those communities and those coaches and athletes leading. But October 10th, that's the date.
Very good. Kellen Cox, Director of Ministry Advancement for the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, fieldsoffaith.com. Fieldsoffaith.com. It's been great to be with you, filling in at least these last couple days for Abraham Hamilton III. On behalf of the Hamilton Corner team, I'm Miki. God bless you. Have a great weekend.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.